my place in tech changes every day. But I don't fear the future, because I'm with the leader, Pluralsight. Their online learning platform has the hands-on, expert-led courses I need to master new tech skills and create bigger impacts, so I can learn quickly and stay ahead. With Pluralsight, I don't fear what's next. I embrace it. Tap in at Pluralsight.com and see for yourself.
94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. I'm Juan Castillo, and this is the Electric Drum. And this morning I have with me in the studio, it is my pleasure to have Gary Moore Sr. and also Michelle Moore, and their coaches at Hillhouse High School, the track team. They just won the state championship, as a matter of fact. And I thought that it would be a great thing for them to come on the air and talk about their kids and their lives and you're going to be inspired today. I'm going to tell you that right now. How you doing?
Doing very well. Doing very well.
All right, Gary. And so, Gary, tell me, where are you from?
West Haven, Connecticut.
Okay. All right, so you grew up in West Haven?
Grew up in West Haven, played sports in West Haven.
Okay. You ran track?
Ran track, did football, yes.
Yeah. All right. So tell me about growing up in West Haven.
Much different than New Haven and my experiences with working with the New Haven kids growing up in West Haven.
Okay.
It was different, especially when you start talking about the African-American population in West Haven. It's very small in West Haven compared to New Haven. So I think even for me, coming from West Haven to New Haven, that was a little shocking for me that I wasn't used to being around so many people of color.
Really?
I didn't mind much, but West Haven, we didn't have a lot of colored people.
Okay.
Especially in the administrative side of it, I think there was maybe two people in the building that were African American. So it was definitely different.
Right. School. I mean, talk about some of the folks that were your mentors, people that you look to.
Rudy Hilton. He was one of the African American men, the only African American man in our school in West Haven. So he was definitely someone I looked up to. But bigger than him, obviously, is my father.
Yes.
West Indian. Big man, 6'2", 6'3", very all about discipline and work and just trying to instill in me work ethic, in that by working hard, you'll go a long way, and also character too. So I grew up in a pretty tough household, pretty strict household. I was the kid, the boy that was a senior in high school that had to be home at 10 o'clock.
Okay.
Not understanding why when all my other friends were still out.
Right.
So that was tough. But it's so interesting when as you get older and you get wiser, you see why your parents did some of the things they did. And it was more for protection. And my mom would say, hey, Gary, listen, we're reading the newspaper about all these things that are happening to kids out there. Look at the times these things are happening.
Wow.
You're in your house. So nothing's going to happen to you in your house.
Right.
And so I kind of understood it back then. But as you get older and you become a parent also, you start understanding why your parents were doing the things that they were doing. And a lot of it was just because they loved you and wanted to protect you.
Now, you said the West Indies. What part of the West Indies?
Jamaica.
So, Jamaica. Okay.
Yeah,
all right. So, we're going to talk about that, the Jamaican food, a little later.
Colin Sawfish. Colin Sawfish. Yeah.
So, I'm going to have you hand the phone over to your lovely wife, right? Michelle Moore. How you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
All right. You know, I mean, why did you pick this guy? When was that moment when you knew this was the guy?
You know what? I have, kind of like him, I had a strong father.
Okay.
Strong father figure, and he's a man. He's a strong man, not a weak man. I think one of the things that I like the most about him is that I can respect him as a man. And I'm impressed by who he is. Qualities that he has that I don't have. And he helped me grow a lot before we got married and after we got married.
Right.
So I respect who he is, and he is definitely a strong man.
Right.
And I really was impressed by the man that he was before the kids. Mm. That standard that he was talking about earlier, he was holding them to one. And I'm like that too.
Yes.
Because of the family that I came from. There was no mess in the Ewing household. And so I came to the school that way because I was a substitute at first, then I became a teacher.
Yes.
And I came and I was carrying that with me. You're going to respect me. And when I see you in the hallway, you're going to respect the other people that are in this building too.
Right.
You know, and he was that, but more so than me.
Mm.
I found him tougher than I was.
Right.
And that impressed me. And I just watched how he worked with the kids. And I feel like he inspires them. He's a great father too.
So what made you decide to become a teacher?
You know what? I was tutoring.
Okay.
At my church, I was actually in school.
Yes.
Gone all over the place with my my major. I thought I wanted to be in the health field for some reason, and I don't like hospitals, so I don't know what I was thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But at church, some of the kids needed help with math, and I love math. So I was helping this young lady with her math and, you know, kind of still searching for things, going back and forth. I was like, I like doing this. I like helping the kids with their studies. I like when they get it. It felt so good. And so I said, you know what? I'm going to teach. And that was like maybe a year before I was about to graduate. I was a chemistry major.
Right.
So I had done all of that and decide to teach. But the chemistry is what I teach now. So
right.
It worked out. It worked out.
Right.
But I love it. It's challenging, but it's rewarding.
That's great. Juan Castillo with you. I'm here with Gary Moore Sr. and Michelle Moore. They are coaches and also husband and wife of the Hillhouse track team, state champions, I may add. And we're talking about their lives, you know, and I'm already inspired. Let's give the mic back to Gary. Gary, how long you been married?
15 years.
15 years.
Yeah.
Oh, that was good, man.
Yeah, no.
I put you on the spot, too, man.
No, you didn't put me on the spot, man. I value my marriage. I value Michelle. So
yes.
When I'm not saying guys that forget that or have to think about it don't, but for me, I'm always thinking about her and my family, and I love her. And
right.
So it's easy.
And I'm quite sure that, you know, coaching the kids, you know, and in your case, you know, Michelle, you know, when you are working with the kids at school too, mm-hmm. right, that it's important for them to see that, you know, people stay together, right? You know, so important, right?
Yes.
Gary, so tell me, you know, what do you think, why? I mean, you know, what is it about your relationship with your wife that it lasted for 15 years?
It lasted for 15 years because I think at some point we realized that it's not the other one's fault or at fault.
Okay.
We realized we needed to take some time and look at ourselves. Because I think when you get into a marriage, everyone's always blaming the other one. Or they need to change. Or they need to get themselves together. And there might be some things that they might need to get together. But a lot of times it's us that as an individual – that we have to look at ourselves and make the necessary changes. And even with our marriage, I mean, there were some tough times in there. And I know I was acting foolish at one time, and she had some things that she needed to get together too, acting foolish. But I think when you make Christ the center, it's not, I don't want to say I think, but when you make Christ the center of how you react to things and how you talk to each other, and you treat each other, and you know, a lot of times you get married, you can do that back and forth thing, and you try to one up each other. And we were doing that too. And at some point, somebody has to say, you know what, enough's enough. Why am I responding? Because it's all it does is just get one or the other going.
Mm.
And it was a maturity, I think, that we had to go through, just like most married couples. And we made a commitment.
Yeah.
And it's funny that you talk about, I mean, you're really hitting on the marriage thing. You know, that has become such a major focal point for us with couples, period. Because we have so many couples that are divorcing, and it hurts us. And we're like, well, we need to be doing more with couples. And that's what one of the things that we used to do in our house. We used to have couples get together and kind of talk about the issues that couples have.
Nice.
Because I think a lot of times, and I know for us, when we were when we started doing that, you see that you're not on an island by yourself as a guy, that there's other guys out there dealing with the same things you're dealing with too. So you feel like, oh, okay, all right. Now that you see you're going through these things now, how do we handle it? What do we do? You know, and I think, you know, going through those sessions that we had with other friends and family really, really helped us to kind of examine ourselves too and examine this relationship and really value it too. So it's been a great ride. And I just want to say one thing, because I know you're about to go to something else.
Oh, no. We got time here, man.
It's always interesting. I think people get to some points in their marriage, 15 years, even sometimes 20 years, mm-hmm. and they'd get divorced or they wouldn't do it again. And I feel very good about that, because we've talked about that. If we had to do this again, this is it right here.
Right.
Despite, you know, the rough times, but the rough times made us better for this.
Right. Juan Castillo, I'm speaking with Gary Moore Sr. and Michelle Moore. They are coaches at they're married, and they coach Hill House High School track team, and you know, we're talking about their lives, and you know, you're probably wondering, man, Juan must be having some kind of couples kind of show or something. But you know, but it's interesting. The reason why I ask these questions is because, see, when you have a championship team, right, it's not just about that trophy that they got the other day. You know, it's about the other things that they can instill in some of the young people. And so that's why we're talking about this, because this is like really the foundation for the championship, right? You know, and so I want Michelle to get back on the mic. So Gary mentioned, you know, Christ, right?
Yes.
You know, and religion, right? You know, mm-hmm. how important is that in your family and in your life?
Well, he's the filter. He's the filter for everything. He's the foundation. We know if you build a building and the foundation is messed up, jacked up, whatever you would call it, it's not going to stand. And so he's the foundation. If we didn't have him, we wouldn't be together.
Right.
Because he was the filter that we had to process all of the stuff that was going on early in our marriage and some of our challenges and the things that we had to improve on. And he's the foundation for how we raise our kids. Mm. The things that we tell half the time when I have to get on our children, we have two children, son and daughter.
How old are they?
Almost 13, 12 and 11.
Wow. Challenging age.
Yes. But it's not going to be a challenge.
Well, they know everything.
they my daughter tries to think that she does, but you know what? It's reminding them that they don't.
Yes.
And we've been around quite a bit more than you.
Yes.
But everything that, every lesson that I try to teach them, for the most part, it's got to go back to the Bible.
Mm.
The Lord says, this is what the word says. And, you know, we try to read things together, Proverbs, wisdom. Everything comes from God. He's first.
Right.
And if that happens, I mean, the path should be pretty clear, you know, because if we look at things through our own eyes, it can get real blurry. You know, things start getting filtered by our emotions.
Right.
How I feel, what happened to me, woe is me. But like Gary said, when you're going through the Lord, he tells us to look at ourselves first. We have to look at, what's my response? You know, how am I offended? Am I allowing this situation to offend me? And I always think of when I'm feeling offended, I've offended the Lord and he forgave me.
Mm.
And so how could I dare not forgive my husband? Or I mean, people I work with, it extends all parts of life. It's not just in our family. Everywhere we walk, you know, the Lord is with us, and we have to uphold those standards everywhere.
Right.
Can't just be lip service. It has to be how we live.
And obviously, you've gained a lot of strength through that.
Oh, yes.
Question for you. You know, with the, you know, it's teaching today is a challenge, right? To say the least. Today in our urban cities, you know, we have some challenges, some socioeconomic issues that kids are bringing to school. And you know, it becomes a task. How do you deal with that?
Well, you know what? This year, well, let me start all over.
Of course.
One of the things that has been so important to me, even when I first started teaching, was, yes, I have to teach them chemistry. And right now I'm actually teaching Phi Chem, so I have the freshmen this year, which I'm really enjoying because I'm getting them earlier. But one of the things that has lasted all of these years that I've been teaching is who they are is more important to me, who they become character-wise than the chemistry. And the chemistry is important. Their parents are expecting them to learn.
Yeah.
So that's important. But I've always been of the mind, if they're showing me some weaknesses in their character, I'm not bypassing it. I'm not sending them to the administrator. We're going to deal with it right here, right now. Mm. You don't have to respond to me like that. I respect you. I need you to respect me. And so that's kind of like my foundation, I guess, for who I am as a teacher. I treat them like they're my kids, and I call them my babies. And when I see them and they're 30 years old in the store, I say, "There goes one of the babies," because we treat them like they're our own.
So the discipline is the foundation.
Oh yes, okay. Oh yes. And then we could get to the teaching.
Right.
Once we have an understanding of my expectations of you, and I always remind them, I would never disrespect you. Mm. And I ask them, "Have I ever?" And so they have to process that. And once they process that, then I could get to the heart of the matter, and then we can move on and I can educate them. But that respect has to be the foundation in that classroom.
I mean, and one of the things that, you know, there's many studies, you know,
yes,
that, you know, African-American children and minorities, you know, have issues with the sciences and math.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
And you know, try it. How do you overcome that?
I'm going to do whatever I can to get them to understand it.
Yeah.
You know, I try to go at it from different angles. Extra time. Do you need, you know, if you need to talk to me a little bit more, let's go over it again.
Because in a lot of cases, the parents don't know.
No.
I know. You know, they came to me with some chemistry. I didn't have.
Yeah.
You got to get it to them, man.
Yeah.
Right?
But you know what? We have to make ourselves available.
Yes.
It no longer is our time in the classroom sufficient.
Okay.
And I don't believe that we can expect the kids to necessarily, because chemistry could be a strength for one child, science, but just like them, I've had weaknesses too. So when you understand that you had challenges, you understand I'm going to have to extend myself a little bit more because they may not get this like that.
Mm.
And so I have to be willing to take some extra time.
Right.
You know, so we try to take extra time in class, but you know, we can't do that for too long. And so after school, listen, let's go. If you need help, I'm here.
Well, there's been a lot of, you know, proposals to extend the school day.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I don't know if that's good or bad. I mean, I know at certain times, you know, when I was going to school, it was just too much. You know, class
yeah.
after class after class.
Yeah,
and it's just a disappointment where you know,
yeah.
I would. I mean, I know when I was going, you know, because I'm old. We used to have to gym. You know,
uh-huh.
which a lot of school systems don't even have gym anymore. Right.
Mm.
You know, so that you can break up the
yes.
day with like, OK,
yes.
now I'm going to get physical. And,
yes. Yes.
And, you know what I mean?
Yes. Yes. So, get out of that classroom sitting.
Yeah. And then you could then you come back.
Yes.
Right. You
yes.
know, so let's talk to Gary a little bit now. So, Gary, besides coaching track, what else have you done and what do you do now?
Well, actually, I teach a senior seminar class at Hillhouse High School.
OK.
For years, I acted as a academic counselor for the athletes at the school as a resource for them in preparing them for college or reaching out to colleges and universities that they may be interested in, just helping them through the NCAA process.
Right. And in talking about that, right,
mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, so often it's all about just getting what is it? What is it now? What is it? 2.5 or what do they have to have now in order to be eligible to play?
Well, actually, it all depends on the rule that you're talking about here, because the state actually says that you can have two Fs, and as long as you pass four classes and have two Fs, you could actually play high school sports in Connecticut.
But then when it's time to go to college,
yes.
though, right?
Yes.
Well, that's why I've never gone by that standard.
Okay.
Yeah. It's interesting how I started out, because my standard was, and it still is, I don't want any D's or F's on the pro card. I don't care.
Okay.
I don't care.
Right.
I don't want any D's or F's. That's it. And then, you know, now we've gotten to the point where I don't want CC's.
Yeah.
You know,
now you can't be overruled with that, right? I mean, like, can a parent come to you and say, well, listen, that's not the policy. I still want my kid to play or run, for that matter?
I've never, no one's ever battled me. A parent has
really?
Never, parent has never battled me with it. I think we do a fairly decent job of educating the parents of the standard.
Okay.
And I think once you, and expectations, I think once you set that, people just know when they come to your program that they got to rise to the occasion.
Right.
And those grades have to be up. And because I always tell them, that's the first thing I tell them. That's, track is, I'm okay with the track thing if you don't do well with that. But those grades, I'm going to go crazy. If those grades aren't right, and I'm going to make it a big deal, and I'm going to make a point when it comes to the grades. And I think, I know that's why we've been so successful with getting kids into college, and not just getting them into college, but they're graduating from great schools.
Yes.
And that's the part, that's what it's all about.
That's awesome.
Setting the standard for the kids. Looking at them as young people and developing them as people first, and then the track stuff comes along with it. And we've just been able to do it for so many years. So
great. So obviously, running is a natural thing, right? You know,
for most people,
it's a natural thing. So when you're looking for someone. We're talking track and athletics, right?
Mm-hmm.
What are you looking for? You know, to try to recruit someone that's either at the school or is you know, middle school or whatever, right? What are you looking for?
I'm always looking for toughness.
Okay.
Not so much talent, because I believe if the kid is you watch them run, and they don't give up. Yeah, that's the kid. They may have been third or fourth, and they may have been struggling. And you look at them, you're like, wow, I could do something with them.
Yeah. Mm.
That's what I look at first. That's what impressed me first.
Yes.
Toughness, because the sport is not easy.
Yeah,
you know, the shirt said most people put the shirt on, or they get the shirts made up. Our sport is your punishment. You know, because you basketball, you do suicides.
Exactly.
You know, same thing with football. You do suicides. You run.
Right. Right.
But that's what we do, or our kids do all the time.
Right.
And I tell you, I have. There's been many times I've had to say to our kids, I said, you know what, I really am so impressed with you, and I admire you, because this is not easy what you do, and I'm so impressed with them that you stay committed to it, because it's so hard. To stay committed to it and coming every day, and the expectations we have for you on and off the track, you know, within the classroom. And I think that's another thing that I think that has really been a huge piece of our success, that we've never treated the classroom or what goes on in school separately than what goes on the field. I think the teachers feel good about us too. They've always respected what we've done in the school. We've always been accommodating to us, because they know that we care about the kids, and we're going to hold them accountable on our end if they're not doing what they're supposed to be doing on their end.
Right.
And even with the parents. I mean, we've gone as far as telling parents, they're not doing what they're supposed to do at home. They're accountable to us here, too, just as well as to your house.
Okay.
And probably one of the saddest things that we've been seeing recently, that it almost feel like we get more respect than the parents.
Yeah.
And we have to say to kids, I've had to say, kids, how could you? I've done nothing. Your mom has done everything for you. Your dad has done everything for you. And you don't treat them with the respect that you should be treating them. And you're not abiding by what they're asking you to do. But you come to me and you do what I ask you to do.
Mm.
Or you always treat me respect. You know, so it's changing mindsets of the kids and appreciating their people and what they do for them at home. And that we're just an extension of home. Or if in some cases your people aren't doing what they're supposed to do, we're going to raise the level up of what it should be.
Yeah.
You know, either way.
And I mean, let me ask this question. I mean, I think that the great thing about sports is that, you know, you're part of a team and you're together a lot, right?
Yeah.
And so you will have friends outside of that, but you're going to be influenced by this team. However, today, right, you know, with social media, with the different norms and attitudes that young people have today. Especially, and I've caught this so often. I mean, you know, the buses let off downtown here from the studio. And, you know, sometimes I walk out there to get some coffee or something, and I see these kids walking around, right? You know, something that I hear a lot is, you're not going to disrespect me. Mm-hmm. Like, respect is really big in their eyes, right?
Yes. Yeah.
You know, and it's like, if somebody says something that they feel is disrespectful, like, it's on, right? Yeah. And, I mean, and so... How do you work with your kids so that these outside influences, right, the negative influences, you know, you're able to sort of separate them from that, you know, and do you get to see that?
It's funny. We really don't get to see a lot of that because I think because we've been doing it so long,
yes.
I think kids almost come in, they're coming into our program knowing what the expectations are and what we're going to tolerate, what we're not going to tolerate.
Right.
Still with us, even though we understand not everybody's coming in perfect, this perfect child and put together, I think a lot of kids come in with that already, knowing that. And so we don't, for us, we really don't get a lot of that craziness.
So your reputation.
We have a few fighters. Here and there.
The
expectation is expressed because fortunately we always end up hearing about things that go on and we deal with you. Yeah. And I get to you say this. I think that's one of the things that separate us from maybe other programs. I think a lot of other coaches let administration handle it, let the parents handle it, and they just kind of go about the normal business where I just think coaches have so much of an influence, and I think some coaches don't understand
how much power they have.
Yes. How much power they have, or they're just happy with just coaching and they don't want to deal with the other stuff.
Right.
They're just here to coach. That's all I'm here to do. I'm here to come in from 3 to 5 and coach, and that's it. And you just keep it there.
Right.
And so, but like I said, fortunately for us, we don't deal with that. But it's always interesting with the kids with respect.
Big thing.
But I'm not quite sure. It's big, but it's slanted, I guess I can say.
Okay.
Yes.
Because a lot of times, like even what Michelle would say, she's treated them with the utmost respect, and they're ready to basically be disrespectful.
Yes.
You know? Right. But respect is such a big thing, but I've been respecting you.
You got to give it in order to receive it, too.
But I gave it to you.
Yeah. Right.
But why are you talking to me like this? Right. And so they almost kind of set themselves up all the time that way, where...
Well, that helps them to grow.
Well, what I found, can you give them to Michelle?
Yeah.
Because I want to ask another question, too. Well, what I find is about the relationship between them, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, where it's like they wear that on their sleeve.
Oh, yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And it's like... And it's almost like they're waiting for somebody to disrespect them, right?
Yeah.
You know, and that's really interesting for me. You know, it's like,
deeper going on with that.
And some people are dying over that.
Well, that's true.
You know what I mean?
You know what? I found that, and because I've had to ask this question to people, because I feel like we didn't grow up in an era where it was so common. Like, we were looking to slick each other. Like with a comment. They're always trying to say something slick to each other.
Slick social media.
And it's like, where's the kinder, gentler world? You know?
Yes.
But that's what they're always trying to do to each other. So they may be bracing for it.
Mm.
You know? And maybe the mindset has to be changed. We don't need to do that to each other.
Right.
If anything, we should be lifting each other up. But that's kind of where the culture is going. When you watch TV, what are they doing? It's that banter that's going on.
Right.
And it doesn't have to be that all the time, but that's what it feels like it is. I see it in the classroom, in the hallways.
Let me ask you this question.
Okay.
You know, you've been coaching for 16 years,
yes.
You know, and Gary's for 23 years, right?
Mm-hmm.
In terms of, you know, just having an attitude of good sportsmanship, like what you see on television... Mm-hmm. It's a lot of posturing, right?
Yes.
And I mean, you know, I mean, look, you know, I know the hip hop generation, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, I was a part of that too.
Yes.
And, you know, it was about bragging and it was about, you know, sticking your chest out.
Right.
How do you guys deal with that? I mean, you know, track is a little different though, but still, I noticed that because I've been to some of your track meets. your kids, when they finish running, they go over to the other kids and congratulate them also, even if the other kids lost, which is really big today. You know, I mean, I don't notice that in a lot of other sports. Talk about that a little bit.
You know what it is? It's the example that's set. Gary and I talk sometimes about how the kids are and some things that kids will do to our kids. Recent situation where one of our boys was jumping and there was kind of heckling going on while he was jumping. Very poor sportsmanship.
Yeah.
And in talking to him, Gary said, we would never do that to another athlete. It's because of who we are. And they know that's not going to be tolerated. Right. So if there is any inkling, because we've seen little inklings, especially in boys, because, you know, boys can puff their chest up.
Right.
It's dealt with. We don't do that. Mm. Okay? You let your performance speak for itself on the track. Keep it moving.
Right.
But we're not going to walk around like that. Because any day now, you could be the one that's beat. So yes. you're not going to wave this in front of somebody like you're all that.
Right.
So humility.
Humility.
Is absolutely. Very important.
Right, right.
Yeah, but
right.
He'll say that because we'll see things from other teams, things that'll happen with other athletes. And Gary will always say, the coach is what allows that. The coach is who allows that.
And so you got to treat your kids to be able to handle that too, right?
That's because, we had that was that conversation. That was part of the conversation.
He never experienced anything like that.
Yeah.
He was mentally just thrown a loop because he's a really nice young man too.
Right.
Oh, he's a really nice young man. And so he was confused. Like, they were like laughing because he didn't jump as well as he should have because he was the number one kid in the state. And they were like celebrating that he didn't do well. And those are teachable moments for him. Yes. Son, listen, as you get older, you're moving into the real world and it's not so kind.
Yeah.
And you have to be prepared for that mentally to deal with that, to be able to ignore that and still stay within yourself and focus on what you have to do for yourself. And and that's just going to make you a much better athlete going down the road.
And a much better person.
And a much better person.
In business, you're going to get that too.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. You go to work, man, you know? But let's get Michelle back on.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
Lowe's knows that saving is always top of mind, especially this season. That's why we've picked some great deals for early Black Friday. Get free select DeWalt, Kobalt, or Craftsman tools when you buy a select battery or combo kit. More tools? Why not? Plus, we've got select pre-lit artificial Christmas trees starting at $59.98 because it's never too early to think Christmas. Get Black Friday prices without the crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. While supplies last, selection varies by location.